Proverbs chapter 9. God says this: Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She's sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead.
So yeah, my name is Ben, if you don't know me, and it's so great to see you all. It's great to see so many students back. I'm looking forward to catching up with you and see new faces as well. And I just want to add my welcome to Steve's. And want to welcome you also to a new mini-series we're going to be starting. Probably just three sermons that we're going to have. And I've titled the series, Jesus, Wisdom Embodied. And one of the things I want to do is I want to look at a biblical image that appears quite a lot, which is the fact that human life is like walking along a path, or a series of paths, many paths within a path, going one direction, sometimes moving different directions. Some of those paths are chosen for us. You didn't have a choice. Some of them you choose, particularly those ones, the ones that you have a choice in. That's what I want to be looking at throughout this series. And I want to invite you to take on Jesus Christ, as your guide along that path. In fact, not just Jesus, I want you to take Proverbs, this book of wisdom that we read earlier. I want you to take that. How does that guide me along the path? And then something I want to show you throughout is that this immense wisdom in the book of Proverbs, we find it embodied in the life of Jesus. He shows us the way, and he invites us to follow him. There's lots of decisions we have to make in life, isn't there? I mean, especially if you're a new student and you've just arrived, it's kind of alarming, isn't it? How many things you have to start deciding on. And I remember when I was a student, it was just having to like buy my own food, work out what I'm going to actually do with the whole day, cook my food. I know how to eat my food. I'm so good at that. But I remember one time thinking, okay, I like tomato soup. I like pasta. Tomato soup and pasta, don't do that. It was terrible. Chicken soup and pasta, though, that works. So that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Now, genuinely, that is part of what wisdom is. The book of Proverbs says a lot about these really particular things in our lives, food, those types of things. But I'm not going to focus on those. I want to focus on the majors, the big questions, where you need to make decisions. What kind of moral framework are you going to adopt during your university time? How are you going to decide what modules to pick and maybe what career choices you're thinking of making after uni? And I'm not just thinking of students here. There's many of us. I'm constantly finding myself having to navigate through tricky terrain, multiple paths I could choose. Maybe you're also thinking that as you're maybe you're going through a kind of a career change or thinking about where you would live, what company you're going to keep. Many other questions that we face, and they're difficult. They're difficult and they're hard. And I want to offer you a guide along that path. Now, I think we struggle today with a sense of, with these life decisions that we have to make. Sometimes it feels like, where do I even go? Where do I even start? And I think one thing that kind of forced me to kind of start this series, not forced me, but compelled me, was an episode of Friends. So there's an episode where I particularly remember this as I was coming to do my PhD here in Cambridge, was there's an episode where Ross, who is a, what's Ross? Paleontologist. And he, that was sharp. He goes to the hospital with Rachel, and Rachel's pregnant, and they come to the hospital. You know, obviously it's quite emergency, and they ask for their names, and she's like, "Oh, Rachel Green," and then they ask for Ross's names. He's like, "Dr. Ross Geller," and Rachel screams, "Oh, Ross, please! That word actually means something here," and like, it's something that I think. It made me think, sometimes we have a really high view of medical doctors. But other doctors, they're kind of useless, aren't they? What did you, where did you go to like a doctor? None of you are going to come to me for much help, I don't think, when I eventually finish this thing. So, but when I was thinking about that, in ancient times, it wasn't exactly the reverse, but it was definitely a different thing going on, where actually, who did people find really useful? Who did they look to? It was often the philosophers or the rabbis in Israel. Teachers, people who would not just teach you a kind of curriculum to pass some exams, but a way to live. And I think today, we've lost confidence in that. There are many reasons for it. I mean, one reason, I think, that we kind of, the value has changed is that medics do incredible things today that maybe back then medics didn't have a lot to work with, and it's advanced so much as a field. So perhaps that's why there's been a bit of a change. But also, I think philosophy today, the love of wisdom, that's what philosophy means, it's frankly irrelevant to us. It's become such a kind of isolated field. And probably because they don't even, most philosophers don't even believe that the world really makes much sense anymore. That there's a kind of a loss of confidence in the fact that there's a creation. There's a way that the world works. And if we find out how the world works, we'll find out how to live in it. We've lost confidence in that. And today I want you to see that actually the guidance that we get in the scriptures, and especially in Jesus, is requiring us to see that the world makes sense. There is a sense to the world. And when we find out how it works, we can live within it. So we're going to see that in the book of Proverbs especially. That's a big theme in Proverbs. And then we're going to turn then at the end to look in Jesus. So Proverbs chapter 9, let's get to it. Proverbs chapter 9. You'll notice as you look at it, so it's on page 642, the NIV has helpfully put it in kind of three sections, hasn't it? There's six verses in each section. And the metaphor is actually of a kind of group of people walking along a path. And as they are walking along a path, they hear two different voices of two different feasts that they can enter into. They are personified. Wisdom is personified as a woman, and so is folly. There's Lady Folly, there's Lady Wisdom. Both of them are calling out. And they say the same thing. Look at this in verse 4 and verse 16 of chapter 9. Verse 4, Lady Wisdom says, "Let all who are simple come to my house." Verse 16, Lady Folly says, "Let all who are simple come to my house." Verbatim, exactly the same words. That's how it starts. It's almost like Proverbs is wanting you to see that you're going to, as you're walking along this path of life, you're going to hear lots of different voices. You're going to see different paths, different ways that you could go. And on the surface, they might sound the same. They might look similar. So how do you choose? How do you choose which path to go? Now, we're told from the offset that there is life in the house of Lady Wisdom. So she says, verse 5, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." So she's inviting people to find life in her house. Whereas Lady Folly, she says to those who have no sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." That's all she says. It's sweet. It's delicious. Come. Come and enjoy it with me. She doesn't tell them what the narrator tells us in verse 18, but little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead, promising something and concealing what's behind it. Something that we often find, we may have different paths that we can go down. You're being offered different things. And you don't know where the path leads. Wisdom is part of wisdom is knowing, working out where the path leads. Yeah, I know it wasn't just cooking where I had to kind of work out what I would do when I came to university. And obviously I made bad decisions, as I've told you. But it was also, for me, I grew up in a home where I was taught so many wise ways. And I had it modeled for me by my parents. I was so blessed. Some of you may have had that, some of you may not have. But for me, I had. And I remember coming to university and I saw, you know, lots of friends, my housemates, and other people just going out, having a great time, getting drunk, sleeping around, doing all sorts of things that looked like there was life there. It looked really fun. And if I was going to follow what my parents had taught me, I was going to stay in on a Friday night, it looked like. Maybe play a bit of FIFA with some friends. That doesn't look very... Well, maybe that's quite cool, actually. But... It looked like, oh, I'm missing out here. I'm missing out. Part of wisdom is being able to discern, actually, where's that going to lead? Where's that going to head? Now, how do you make that decision? How do you make that decision? Some people think in Proverbs chapter 9, the middle six verses. Can you see those from verse 7 verses 12, they look a bit weird. Like, you can see how the first, you know, that beginning and the end come together, but then, you know, they just kind of filling in, you know, they have a word count to fill and they've got to add some things in. But actually, I think these verses are placed here for a really important reason. They are telling you what's the difference between the person who goes into the house of wisdom and finds life and the person who goes into the feast of Lady Folly and finds death. And it's really interesting. It's probably not what I would have thought would have been there, but look what it says, verse 7. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. I wonder for you, when was the last time someone kind of sat you down over a pint or over a coffee and said, mate, you know I love you, but what you did there, that was out of order. When was the last time someone did that for you? Do you have friends like that in your life? And when was the last time, if you can think of something like that, where you went, you know what? Yeah, I can see what you're saying. That was out of order. Is that something that you can think of in your kind of recent memory? Are you wise? Do you accept rebuke? That's going to be pretty key to the way you choose your paths. Will you listen to others? Will you recognize when you've gone wrong? Then verse 10 says, and this is the motto of the whole book. This is the principle of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you're going to start your journey on a path and you want to know which way to go, the fear of the Lord, you need to have the fear of the Lord. Now, why is this the case? And now I'm going to try and like give you a bit of a broader picture of what's going on. Why is the fear of the Lord so essential? Why is it the beginning of wisdom? I want you to see, the Lord made wisdom. Wisdom is an attribute of the Lord, who is the maker of the universe. This is why it's so important for us to have a kind of doctrine of creation, that we're made. We're not kind of products of some random blind process. We are made. We have a maker, and he built the world through wisdom. Look at what verse 1 says of chapter 9. 1, Lady Wisdom. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its 7 pillars. Does that remind you of anything? 7 is a very important number in the Hebrew Bible. It's a number of kind of completion and order. God made the world in 7 days. He gave it order in those 7 days. And to think of the creation as on pillars was a common way of thinking of the world. And if you keep this in context, if you look, it's on the same page in your Bible, verse 22 of chapter 8. It's again wisdom speaking, and she says, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ago, ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. Where there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth." The Lord made, architected this world that we live in through wisdom. And human beings were made to walk with God and to extend and multiply as God's kind of co-rulers on the earth. And in order to do this, they were going to need to walk with God and learn from him wisdom. Learn how to do this. But then God set up 2 trees in the garden. Kind of like we've been seeing 2 ways, 2 paths, 2 houses. There were 2 trees in Genesis. The tree of life, and if they ate from it, they would walk with God and live forever. Whereas if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then death would come. Very similar, isn't it, to the two houses, death and life. And the difference between the two trees, God doesn't exactly tell them why eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil will bring death. He doesn't exactly tell them why. Rather, they are to trust him. To trust him that you know what's best. You made me. But they didn't. And they were enticed. Eve, it says, she saw that it was good and that it was able to make her wise. And she took it and ate, and Adam did with her. And what God had planned for them was ruined by their own actions. In other words, they did not fear the Lord, but they chose their own way. They chose their own wisdom. We're going to evaluate good and evil. We're going to be our own judges. That, Proverbs, is almost reflecting on the story of humanity and looking at these two ways and says, look, you're not going to get anywhere until you have recognized that you don't know anything. You don't understand. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning. He knows. He made the world through wisdom. When we follow his ways and look to him, he taps us in to the way that the world works. We start to walk and go with the grain of the world. There's great life. There's great reward there. Verse 12, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. We need to recognize that we are made, we are created. I love how actually chapter 3 makes this so clear of Proverbs. Chapter 3, you can just turn back there a few pages. Hear these words as an answer to the question I was asking. How do you find the right path? Where do you start? What do you need to do? Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. So it's not, how do I find the right path? Well, it's not really me who's going to do that. The Lord is going to do that. And I'm going to look to him and trust him. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So Lady Folly, you know, stolen water is sweet. She's stolen it. It's not hers. Don't do that. The Lord has said, do not steal. Work for it. Lady Wisdom, she has worked. She's super productive. She sent out her servants to invite people for bread that she has made and wine she has mixed. See, if we're going to choose the right path, we need to discern, is this path, is it the way that the Lord has made? Does it fit with how he made us? Does it work? Do not be wise in your heart. Fear the Lord, shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. There's great reward. There's life there. Verse 16, long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. There you go, that image from Genesis. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. So if we fear the Lord, who is our maker, he taps us in to the way that the world works. We start to walk with wisdom. He'll guide us. There's life there, but it requires you to say, actually, I don't know what I'm doing. Neither does other created beings. I need to go with my creator, my maker. So that's the wisdom, that's the guidance that Proverbs gives us. Now, Proverbs unashamedly will say, if you fear the Lord, choose the way of wisdom, it's going to go well. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to find loads of life there. There'll be rewards, there'll be riches, there'll be honor. Do it. And you know, sometimes we just need to hear that. Hear that, friends. The way that the Lord is offering, it works, it's beautiful. Now, Proverbs says that, speaks in that voice in an extreme way. It doesn't kind of, you know, balance every claim that it's making. It doesn't kind of give, or let me nuance it a little bit. Now, nuance, I love nuance. Those of you who know me, I'm painfully nuanced. But actually, sometimes we just need to hear the beauty of something in its extreme voice to encourage us towards it. But there's other perspectives. Even Proverbs hints at it sometimes, but there's other wisdom books such as the Job or Ecclesiastes, and they're kind of giving the other perspective. Hang on, Ben. You're saying it's going to go well. Well, Ben's not saying that. Proverbs is saying that. You're saying it's going to go well. But frankly, I see that actually the righteous, sometimes they suffer worse than the unrighteous. And the scriptures, they know that question. And they have amazing things for us, and it would be good for us to look at that another time. But actually, I want you to see that, firstly, this is just true. I want to invite you towards it. Enjoy the wise guidance of the Lord. Secondly, as we see this embodied in Jesus, we do find, how does this work, this way of wisdom, how does it work in broken people who live in a broken world? Because that's a big question coming up. Frankly, we don't fear the Lord. Even the writer of Proverbs didn't fear the Lord in the end. King Solomon, this is so important for us to keep in mind. King Solomon, who is like the main source of these Proverbs, at the end of his life, he completely abandoned the way of the Lord. Gave his heart and took to women and took many wives. Abandoned the monogamous vision of marriage that is given to us in Proverbs. The truth of the story is that we always, when the choice that faced Adam and Eve in the garden is before us, and we all have to choose our way, we always do what Adam and Eve did. We always and eventually will go our own way. That's a big problem. It's basically the source of most of our ills today. So we need to go to Jesus. Jesus, how do we do this? How does this work in the world that I'm in today? So let's turn then to Luke chapter 9, which was read in between those songs. I love the way we did that earlier. Luke chapter 9. So that would be on page 1039. How do you find the right path according to Jesus? Verse 23 of chapter 9. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple, think of that word as like student. My student, my follower, whoever wants to take me on as their guide, as their teacher, must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. This helps us to live out wisdom, firstly, in a broken world. See, the Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom promised life. Lady Wisdom promised life. Lady Folly led to death. So if you follow the ways of your Maker, it will go well in a world that he has made, but in a world that has abandoned his ways, and where the rulers of this world do not walk in his wisdom, but walk in their own, the truth is that the path of life is often going to look like the path of death. It's It's often going to look like, Jesus, if I follow you on this, it's going to go worse, isn't it? But Jesus says, no, on that path is life. Now, how do we know that? How do we know when obedience to our Maker, obedience to the Lord, that is to love others, to love and sacrifice for the sake of others, to do good, to follow the morals that God has laid out for us, to keep his commandments. How do we know that that's going to profit for us, like Jesus says, if it looks like it's actually better not to do it? Well, that's the cross. That's the cross. Jesus, by following God's command, took him to the most shameful death, to a place where all the Greeks who walked past would have said, what a fool. Only a foolish man ends his life on a cross. What decisions did he make which were wrong? But Jesus says that there is the wisdom of God on the cross, because at that sight is the place where he offered up his life to God. He shows us what the fear of God looks like. That whatever others say and do to me, I'm going to stick on the path of the Creator of the universe, even unto death. And God responds to this act of faithfulness by Jesus by raising him from the dead 3 days later. Not just raising him from the dead, but giving him new life, eternal life, and seating him on the throne of the universe so that all riches, glory, and honor belong to Jesus even now. Jesus has feared God. He's kept his commandments all the way to death on a cross and has been given life on the other side. So actually, Proverbs is right. If you walk in the way of the Lord, riches, life, it's going to go well with you. But friends, it's going to go, the path is going to go through death. And Jesus is saying, if you want to walk, if you want to be my student, if you want to walk in my ways and walk along the path of me, that's the way. Will you do it? Will you pick up your cross? It's not kind of a morbid looking for suffering. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, if you do it for my sake, and the denying oneself, again, it's not just making life harder for oneself, it's embodying what we saw in Proverbs, that it's the fear of the Lord. It's not choosing your own way. You might think this is the best way, but no, fear God. So he shows us how to do it in the broken world, but he also shows us how it works for broken people. Because actually, the problem with me and with all of us is that we're not willing to let go of our own supposed sovereignty. And what we do when we deny ourselves and pick up our cross is we're actually yielding up our lives to God and saying, your way, Lord. I don't know the way. I don't know the way. I'm not wise. I found myself saying that so often recently. I just don't know what to do. I am not wise. But you are all wise, and I'm going to go your way. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Now, the reason we can do this now is because that path, it's already been walked. Okay, so he left it out of the reading, but look at verse 21. So prior to this, they have just confessed Jesus as the anointed one, as the Messiah promised to Israel. And then he strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the Lord, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus has walked this path that he's calling you to walk on. And if you follow him, he'll be with you. He'll lead you. In that darkest moment, he'll be there. And as he's there who not only went to that depth, but came out the other side, and he'll bring you out the other side with him. So to fear the Lord in a broken world as broken people, according to Jesus, it's to take the way of death now so that we will receive life later. But those who seek to save their life, who become their own guides, they will lose their life. They may prosper greatly in this world, but they will lose their life when Jesus returns in his glory and the judgment comes. Such strong words from Jesus to those who will follow him. So I want to help you now to think this through, because I think this will be landing on many of us in different ways, and I definitely can't address all those now, but I want to help you think about this if you're not currently a follower of Jesus. You're not kind of bringing yourself under his teachings and following his ways. Can I ask you, if we take the image of a path, who is choosing the path that you're choosing, you're walking down? Because it's not like you don't have a guide. We all have a guide. Sometimes you might look to someone, a fellow human being who you respect, and take them on as your guide. Sometimes we might think that we are our own guides and decide our own ways. When you look at those guides and you compare them to Jesus of Nazareth, a man who's been followed for 2,000 years, someone who taught so beautifully. I'm going to kind of introduce us to some of his teachings more as this series comes on. His teachings are just, they are life. They're so beautiful. But not only that, he's a man who lived it. Of who else can you say that? I've spoken quite strongly at times this evening. I recognize that. And I wouldn't want you to kind of just think that, you know, you just follow Jesus and, you know, you just go into it without thinking. Jesus himself, when he speaks in these harsh ways, he's wanting you to count the cost. He's wanting you to count the cost. So think about these massive claims that Jesus is making. Investigate them. Investigate them. That might be a good thing for you to do. And next week, we're actually going to be looking at questioning. Why is it wise to question in Proverbs? And Jesus, we'll see how many questions he asked. And start to look into these things more deeply for yourself. And I think that would be a good place for you to start. Talk to others and consider the paths that are being offered to you. I want to take also to speak to people who maybe you've come here and you've come from a church, you've been brought up in the way, and now you have your uni life ahead of you and you have these choices to make. When I was a student 12 years ago, I chose to go the way of my friends. And most of my uni life was spent drinking heavily. I don't know why I laugh at that, it's not funny. I was making an absolute mess of my life. And many people would have thought, oh, Ben, he's such a joyful person, he's having a great time. But actually, there's such an emptiness there. And there are many things about that which I regret having done that. But I can also see, and I remember it was my third year of university, at the end of my third year, when I was starting to ask and seeking for meaning, something changed for me that caused me to follow Jesus But I wanted to say, it wasn't exactly like I kind of intellectually worked it all out and then chose the way of Jesus. A big thing for me, and I remember it so clearly at home in summer, was hearing God just really convict me and say, Ben, it's your pride and arrogance. It's your presumption that you can be your own guide through this path of life. And since I turned to follow Jesus after that, there have been times where it's looked like it's been a worse decision for me. And there are still things in my life where you could say that. But there's been so much joy and life as well. But then there's also, I'm not just evaluating it based on now. I know that when Jesus returns, he will bring me into his glory and fullness of life. And therefore, I know that even as these choices that I'm making seem like the wrong way now, when I evaluate them by the end, they will be the wisest thing I ever did. And I want to encourage you to that now. If you're on the way of following Jesus along the path and you think like this is just getting worse, just give it up. Don't give up. Trust in Jesus. Keep looking to him. Keep on doing that. And he will lead you into the way of life. I want to finish with a quote. I've been reading a book called The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which I'd highly recommend on this issue. And he quotes Martin Luther at the end of one of his chapters. And it's Luther kind of paraphrasing Jesus, speaking in the voice of Jesus. And it really spoke to me, and I wonder, maybe it will speak to you also. Things must go not according to your understanding, but above your understanding. Submerge yourself in a lack of understanding, and I will give you my understanding. Lack of understanding is real understanding. Not knowing where you are going is really knowing where you are going. My understanding makes you without understanding. Thus, Abraham went out from his homeland and did not know where he was going. He yielded to my knowledge and abandoned his own knowledge. And by the right way, he reached the right goal. Behold, that is the way of the cross. That is the way of the cross. Not my way. Not my own wisdom. Your way, Jesus. Wherever that leads, I'll follow you and trust that it leads to life. May we all do that. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that we are made by you. And you have good plans for us. And you call us to walk in wisdom and to find life. We thank you, Lord, that that path which leads to life does not depend on us. You are our leader, our guide. And we thank you for giving us Jesus, who rescued us from a life of self-destruction by dying for us on the cross and showing us the way. I pray, Lord, for everyone here, whatever stage they're at, you'd help them to work this through and help us to yield our lives to you so that we might find life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.